Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day and for allowing me to be part of yours. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find all the things that we do here on the show and the articles we write. And not only me, but our Brain Trust members, thousands of those. We've got thousands of articles, thousands of archives of past interviews that you can podcast if you want. You can burn them onto a CD. You can listen to them right there on the website. You can subscribe to my free newsletter, which I encourage you to do. We got a brand new look just this month that I think you'll like. We're getting a lot of good compliments on that. The blog is there. We update that every weekday. And, of course, the other website, our new one, is askjim.biz. That's our knowledge base, where you can go and get small business answers now. And I think you'll like this, folks. It works like a search engine, only better. Scott Abbott is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Scott's a new friend. He is an entrepreneur. He's been an executive. He's covered the bases. He's paid his dues from Alpha to Omega in the marketplace. And he's got some ideas about what we need to do in the 21st century for people of my generation, the baby boomer generation, to employ, to work with, to be customers of, to be vendors to the younger generations, the Gen Xers, the Gen Ys. And he's put it all in his new book, Pocket Porch Lights, Reflections, Insights, and Recommendations for Helping Young Adults Succeed in Business and Life. Scott Abbott, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. I'm very happy to be on.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book. You know, the challenge, it seems to me, Scott, is that you got this baby boomer generation like me, and I'm not on the leading edge of the baby boomer, but I'm in the upper quartile of the baby boomers. And you know, I was brought up in an age when, you know, you clicked your heels and saluted and said, "Yes, sir, how high would you like that?" And you know, we were motivated, we worked hard, and you know, now we're bringing along these younger people, the Gen Xers and the Gen Ys. We're hiring them, we're working with them. Some of us may even working for them. We're doing business with them, but they're motivated differently than we are, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, every generation has got their commentary about them, right, from previous generations or younger generations. So this isn't really anything new per se, but it is a new world, right, because the Internet, because of globalization, because of the bad things that are happening, unfortunately. And it just is a different time and place. And, yes, the Generation Y, or the entitlement generation, as they're being called, look and feel and act a bit differently. And I'm kind of in between you and them. I'm just turned 40, actually 41. I'm already trying to think I'm not as old as I am. But the reality is we just need to be more mindful, find a common ground, and have a greater awareness and appreciation about what makes them tick, and vice versa. They need to step up and have a greater appreciation, to your point, Jim, about the way you look at things and those of the generation before, specifically Generation X.
You used a word there that I think is really an important pivotal word that this whole... If the younger generation, and I try really hard not to sound preachy, as I said before, not to sound like, you know, I walk to school uphill both ways in the snow, but I do think the word appreciation is important. I think that word, if I could give the younger generation one word that would help them to get the most out of the folks who are older than them, who sort of paid the dues, on whose shoulders they're going to be standing on for a while, If they could get that word across, a little appreciation for what they have, a little gratitude for what's been given them, I think that would go a long way. What do you think about that, Scott?
Well, I agree. I actually have a couple few more words, too. So in the book, I think a central theme that I focus on, specifically for young adults to be mindful of, and that's, I call it PAM, which is an acronym for perspective, mm-hmm. how we look at things, attitude, how we feel about things, aptitude, how we work at things, and mindfulness, how we think about things. And I think if the younger adults today can start off getting out of bed in the morning, can start their jobs, can start living life with their friends and their family with PAM in mind and having the right PAM, and then concurrent and at the same time, you and me, Jim, and the older generations need to have, I believe, a little more compassion, not to say, hey, you get this for free or you don't have to do your job and work hard and be good, but compassionate that it is a bit different for them today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can find that common ground and they can do their part and we can do ours, you know, I'm a positive guy and I think we can make things better.
You know, a lot of the challenges that we're going to have with each other over the years could be improved by the parents. I'll give you an example. I was with a young man about 14 years old the other day with his father. We were doing some things together, and this is a really good kid, very respectful young man, just a sweet kid. But his parents are okay. They're not ultra rich, but they're doing pretty good. And he's an only child. And I asked him about, he was talking about, you know, wanting something, some object or something. And I said, well, why don't you just save up in your allowance? You know, that dates me, doesn't it, there, Scott? And he said, I don't have an allowance.
Yeah.
Now, at that moment, I realized that that's when what you're talking about in your book hit me between the eyes. And I realized without expecting it, this kid doesn't have an allowance because he doesn't need an allowance.
Yeah.
Everything,
you know,
he wants, all he has to do is point at it, and he gets
yeah.
it.
Yeah, parenting, you know, I'm no trained psychologist, but from experience, and I talked with hundreds of people while writing the book, certainly it's a generalization about lackadaisical parenting being part of the problem, but there's no it's a reality that as parents, the generalization is true. We have a hard time saying no. We have a hard time understanding limits, and the reality is I think you can keep the love, you can keep the compassion, and that goes back to the theme of pocket porch lights. You know, we've all heard the expression, we'll leave the porch lights on, right? We can always be there for our kids, but sometimes we almost have to have a bit of an employee-centric, business-centric expectation, right? When we work with our kids about chores and getting up and dressing
and
being responsible.
Hold on to that thought. We got to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back with our new friend, Scott Abbott, the author of Pocket Porch Lights. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend, Scott Abbott, the author of Pocket Porch Lights. Scott, give us your website and tell us where your book's available, please.
It is pocketporchlights.com, all synced together. And you can also get the book from the website and get tied into a bunch of other information as well. And if you happen to be surfing Amazon or Barnes & Noble online, you can also get the book there, too.
Scott, one of the things that we talked earlier about, just some of the general things that are going on with the younger generations, and some things that parenting, a little bit of attention to detail, a little bit of tough love would help. But we're not going to change all that, and so what we're faced with as business owners, hiring this younger generations, and it's not just you call the Gen Ys, the Echo Boomers, you call them the entitlement generation. I think that's also part of the Gen X generation, maybe, which I guess is, you're probably on the leading edge of the Gen X generation. I think your generation, Scott, is included in that, in the entitlement generation. I think there's some of that in there too, and just in the behavior that I see from the young people, from the people in those ages. So how do we all work together? How does somebody, an old fogey like me, you know, how do I deal with these people? How do I hire these people? How should I think about them when I'm interviewing them? What should I hold against them? What should I not hold against them? What should I be looking for? And how do I become a better manager with these young people?
Well, a couple of things, right? So the book, what I try to do is come at it from both perspectives, young adults. And so in that regard, there's a lot of insight and recommendations in terms of things that I think they should know and be aware of from a business perspective. So I do go into some detail and go a little knee-deep into economics and things about the appreciation that companies have for operational effectiveness and efficiency and the difference between top-line sales and bottom-line profitability. So if a young adult entering the workforce, and I don't care if they're working in McDonald's or going to work for McDonald's Corporation, if they can have a rudimentary, fundamental, foundational understanding about business and what businesses expect, super duper, they're ahead of the game. Vice versa, those employing them and the older folks, if they can have an appreciation, as you said, Jim, that you do need to manage them a little bit differently. Certainly don't need to coddle, and you don't need to pacify, and you don't need to patronize, but there is a different vernacular and nomenclature and just a different awareness that they have, and we got to be mindful of that. So, again, I go back to common ground. I go back to mutual.
Let's talk about some of those common ground, Scott. Give me an example. As you were talking, I was just thinking about this. What if we said, okay, here are my requirements, mm-hmm. and here are your requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's understand that if I am. The owner of the company, I'm the guy who's going to make your payroll every Friday. I'm the guy who's going to keep you safe and help you grow as a professional. My requirements are going to prime your requirements. They're going to supersede your requirements.
Right.
And so, but I have to be mindful of your requirements, or you're not going to work for me because you get to move around if you want to.
That's right.
So my requirements are, I want a good attitude. I want you to show up when you're supposed to. I want you to stay till you're supposed to leave. I want you to care about our company. I want you to, you know, to keep our company safe and to be customer focused, customer centered, understanding that the customer is very important, that we don't treat them like they're somebody who's annoying us and they're annoying us in the middle of our day. Those are my requirements. Your requirements as a young person is primarily that you want to be managed differently than I would manage myself, somebody my own age. What do you think about that?
You know, again, a central theme in the book. All of that, I think, Jim, can be summed up in one word, and you're right on. Expectations. And so if we set expectations that are achievable and real and understood, and then we work with the young adults. Again, I go back to treating them as if they're the people we know they can be versus not necessarily what we see today or the perception
right.
that we have of them, right? Critical. And then vice versa. If the young adults understand the expectations set for them and their employers and hiring companies are cool with the expectations back, wow, it's so much easier to achieve, let alone exceed those expectations when we're all working from
right.
the same expectations. You're right on, Jim.
Well, the thing is, the good news I think about the new generations and the older generations, Scott, is that the young generations bring things to the marketplace that I didn't bring to the marketplace when I was 20 years old. I was 19 years old. They have skills. They have technical skills that I didn't have. They're coming to the table with some value that I didn't bring to the table. So that's good. But there also are some things that I've learned in my life that will be good for them. We've got to find a way to share all that information to bring those two things together without creating a casualty list.
Yeah, you know, we're all flawed, right? We all have our assets and our issues. So I think humble confidence, and you said it well there, Jim, appreciating what we have, and that's actually the start of the book, appreciations and admissions.
Mm-hmm.
Admit what we have or don't have. Know who we are. Start with a great sense of self-awareness. and work from there.
Right.
And again, I'm not trying to wrap it up.
Will you come back another day?
No worries. Hey Scott,
you know the problem with humanity? The humans.
That's right.
I'll talk to you later, Scott. Scott Abbott, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called Pocket Porch Lights. Quick break. Right back with Josh Costell. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.